Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod National Youth Gathering this last week, one of the questions that they asked, I think it was the night before the night before the last day, they asked this question: how does the community of Christ look different than the world? How does the community of Christ look different than the world? And I think we find part of the answer, just a part of the answer, in our gospel lesson today. I'm going to read a couple of verses from that. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That's how we pray as Christians. What do you think about this question that the disciples asked of Jesus? "Lord, teach us to pray." You think it was spawned by a desire to get prayer right, to get worship right? Apparently, it seems John and the other rabbis of the day each taught their disciples how to pray. And each one had their own distinct prayer model. If you're a Lutheran, you pray like this. If you're a Catholic, you pray like that. If you're a Pentecostal, you pray like that. I don't know. Well, what matters in prayer? Jesus taught his disciples a little bit about that. He taught them that the heart of prayer is your relationship with God. God, your Father. We say our Father. How is the community of Christ different from the community of the world? We say our Father. We pray our Father, not my Father. Our Father is part of a community of people who have been baptized into life with Christ, a community of people who have received the Holy Spirit. That's what's different. Jesus says, when you pray to God, He will give you the Holy Spirit in our text today. So I think the Lord's Prayer, which we pray every Sunday, we're going to pray it again here today, and you probably pray it at home too, provides a good framework for prayer. It really includes everything you need to pray for. And in Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, I think he invited them to think about the very nature of prayer itself. Because Christian prayer is not like the prayers of other people in this world, people who pray very differently from Christians. They don't pray to their Father, our Father, at least not yet. And we, as Christians, sometimes we don't pray as if God is our Father either. Sometimes we don't really expect that He'll answer us. And if we do, we fear we're not going to get the answer that we expect or the answer that we want. And then, some of us fear that if we don't get the answer that we want, that if God doesn't answer our prayer right away, well, maybe it's not because I prayed right, or maybe God has something else to do, or we don't get the answer, we're afraid that our own faith will be at risk. So we give God an out sometimes. It seems like it. God, do this if you want, if it's your will. Well, that's not giving God an out, okay? God, in His will, promises He will answer. He will answer you. He will give you what you need. Sometimes I think we are afraid that God doesn't have our best interests at heart. Sometimes we wonder, how could God allow these bad things to happen to me in my life? How could God allow my father to die? How could he allow my father-in-law to die last Sunday? Why does God allow bad things to happen to Christians? That's not what I would have prayed for, believe me. Does he not love me? Or sometimes we doubt God's hospitality. If we knock on God's door, how is he going to answer? Is he going to answer with the bread that we're asking for? Or is he going to answer with a bat? Somebody knocked on your door in the middle of the night. How would you answer the door? With a bat? Or maybe something else? Well, I don't have something else, so I would take a bat. This, by the way, is a bat that my father gave me, not for the purpose of answering the door, but for the purpose of softball. And I've had it a long time, as maybe you can tell. And first time I got it, I couldn't hold it. I had to hold it way up here. And even then, it was too heavy for me. I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, I was a really little kid. And I wasn't very good at baseball. I tried, but I couldn't hit very well, and I could catch okay, but I couldn't throw real well. I couldn't hit anything with a baseball. I'll tell you one story. Okay. Embarrassing story number 53 from Pastor Nickel. All right. So one time in Little League, I was playing shortstop, and we had a pitcher who could not get the ball over the plate. And so coach looked around, and he picked me. Jeff, why don't you come in and pitch? I'd never pitched before. So I tried to throw it as hard as I could. And believe me, the catcher jumped and he couldn't catch it. It was so high. So after about 3 or 4 practice pitches, he said, Jeff, why don't you go back to shortstop? That was me. Well, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, hardly with a baseball. So about one time, when I was out just playing in the yard with my neighbor, Roger, we decided to start throwing stones or rocks, you know. And we thought it might be a good idea to throw stones at cars, moving cars, you know. Well, wouldn't you know, I hit one. I couldn't hit a catcher's mitt, but I could hit a car, a moving car. Well, my dad saw that and called me in. We had a little discussion about that. And I apologized to my dad, but my dad wasn't the one who needed the apology. So he sent me over to our neighbor's house, because naturally the car that I hit the guy lived just across the street, across the corner. You know, I didn't hit somebody from out of town. It had to be our neighbor, right? So he sent me over there, and I apologize. And the guy, I didn't know this at the time, but the guy had talked to my dad. I guess my dad had called him up and said, well, my son's coming over to apologize. The man was afraid. He was afraid of me. Little kid. He didn't want this little kid to have this bad impression of him, of being a, you know, big scary old man, or, you know, he was afraid of the relationship that I would have with him if I had to go over there and apologize. Well, anyway, I went over alone. Roger didn't have to go, but I did. And I apologized to him. And I will tell you, and he forgave me. That is what the community of Christ is about. Okay? Forgiveness. And after that, believe me, I never threw another rock at a car anymore. But between me and our neighbor, he didn't hate me, you know. He wasn't afraid that I'd throw rocks at his car anymore. Believe me. And I wasn't afraid of him. That's what forgiveness is. That's what forgiveness is. That's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today. He says, pray this way. For God, forgive us, our Father. Forgive us our sins as we forgive each other. That's what the church is about, forgiveness. So when you go to your Heavenly Father and ask Him for something, He doesn't answer the knock on His door with a bat in His hand. He doesn't come and say, I'm going to take a swing at you because you've been bad. He comes with forgiveness. He comes to give you the bread that you're asking for. Who is that bread? The bread of heaven. The bread of life. Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what you came here for today. The bread of heaven. That's what your Heavenly Father gives you. Know that. And don't be like when we heard of Abraham listen to his prayer from the Old Testament. And don't, you know, I'm not slamming Abraham, believe me. Abraham's a man of faith. But sometimes we pray like that. Like, Lord, I'm going to negotiate with you. Well, how do you negotiate with God? God holds all the cards, right? You've got nothing to negotiate with. And He knows you. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. And He knows all your tricks. You know, you can't impress Him with flowery language. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about your relationship with Him. Who you are to Him and who He is to you. He is your God. Your God who sent His Son to die for you. You are His child adopted in holy baptism. Where He puts His name on you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who you are. It's about you and Him, your Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know what your father was like. My father was great. I loved him. My father-in-law was great. I could talk to him about anything too. Maybe your father wasn't like that. I don't know. But your Heavenly Father is like that. Even more so. So when you pray for a fish, He doesn't give you a serpent. When you pray for an egg, He doesn't give you a scorpion. He gives you what you need. He gives you what you need. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you His Son, Jesus Christ, who comes to you this day and every day in His Word and in His sacrament, blessing you with His body and blood for eternal life and for forgiveness. So you don't have to fear that little kid across the street. You don't have to fear that old, crotchety old man who's are you damaged? Because Christ forgives you. He loves you. He gives you His Holy Spirit so that you have all that you need in this body and life and in the next one, even if it doesn't seem like it. He grants this to you because of Jesus. Amen.